This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
You're listening to the Scarf Bergara Wall, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
So we're here, pre-match Newport County. We're going to do some predictions with Dan Johnson, Dan Culverwell, Toby Culverwell, and Mark Wagster, a.k.a. the Waggle, Waggy.
Wiggle.
Wiggle. So, Newport, we've not won in four. We've not played for 2 weeks. Dan Johnson, give us your predictions.
I reckon we'll be nice and fresh today, 2-0 win.
2-0, nice. What about you, Waggy?
3-1 to County.
3-1 to County. Toby?
Yeah, I'm going the same, 3-1 to County.
3-1, so that's 3-1, 3-1, 2-0. Dan?
If we score early in the first 15 minutes, I think it's going to be a 3-0. If not, it'll be 1-0, 89th minute. Winner. Very nervy game.
So limbs at the end.
Yeah.
Right, cool. I'm going to go for a 3-1, actually. I'm going to agree with... So that's 3-4, 3-1s and a 2-0. Right, cool. So we're all going for a win, as we do. It'll probably not pan out that way, and we'll get it wildly wrong. But we'll probably have a chat after the match, me and Dan in the car on the way back. Right, cheers everyone, see you
Hello,
later.
Hello and welcome to this week's club call. As you can hear, this is me, Waggy. I'm with Dan this week. Hiya Dan, how are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I think we... Apologies to all the subscribers out there. We did, me and Waggy did record this yesterday on Monday. And due to technical issues, we've had to sort of re-record it again. Which is a shame really, because I feel that recording yesterday was the best podcast ever, and it was definitely award winning, and you know that was what was going to get Russ that award, and we've let him down, and you know unfortunately you're going to lose all that insight, because unfortunately between then and now I've had two glasses of red wine, and I've had the missus obviously lecture me about the correct way of making a bed. So all that knowledge of and foresight of the game has just gone completely out of my head. And but hopefully we can, yeah, we can remember some of it. And
hopefully. So yeah, as you can tell, Russ isn't with us either. That's probably why we're having technical issues. He's away on a jolly with work, enjoying himself. So it's just the two of us for this week. And yeah, we're going to discuss obviously Stockport County's eventual 1-0 win against Newport. So I think we'll obviously start with the lineup. We had Ben Hinchliff in goal. Looked like it was a back three of Pye, Horsfall and Cass. And then we had Bristow left wing back. Then we had Lemony Evans, Powell and Sars in the middle. And Hippolyte as a right wing back. And then Madden and Wotton up front. Any surprises for you there, Dan? Anything that you didn't expect or changes that you was expecting?
I had Torre instead of Bristow. I thought Torre would have got another chance, really. And I think I had Olafi in instead of Wotton as well. Obviously, we knew Camps would be involved in some way, and I sort of went, he's going to be on the bench. And apart from that, that's about it, really. Especially with the news that Akil's still a couple of weeks off, then I expected Cass to keep his position.
Yeah, I think I'd put Olafi on instead of Madden, and I'd put Camps in instead of Hippo. So I got 9 out of 11. Yeah, I would say I think it was a decent lineup. I don't know if there's anything wrong with Olafi, with him being our top scorer. I thought he would have been starting, but maybe saw something different in the way that Newport set themselves up or the way they play. I mean, yeah, we'll go into the first half, because they were terrible, weren't they? They were negative, so anti-football right from the kickoff. From 2 minutes in, their keeper trying to waste time by taking a goal kick from the other side of the where the ball went off, then having the players sit back as if he was going to play it short, and then usher them away. And all the usual like time wasting tricks, but even after 2 minutes, they were so anti football. What did you think of the beginning of the first half?
Same again. They came to spoil. They came to be the pantomime villain. They were well aware that obviously we needed a goal, and obviously we get a little bit antsy when, as long as the game goes on and it gets 0-0. I think they played their part in being the pantomime villain, and you know, they knew the longer it stayed at 0-0, the more likely they were to nick something. And for me, they must have watched the Gillingham game from the first game of the season and basically tried to copy their, you know, the gameplay from that game for them. Like you say, just taking their time. And like you say, in their position, do you blame them? No. You know, they turned us around on the kickoff. Same again, we've seen it before. Personally, I think it's actually more beneficial at times actually kicking to the Cheadle end. I think we always look better if we go on the front foot and, you know, try and get that goal in the first 15 minutes. And then we can sort of like really put our foot down and sort of like play the game we want. And it opens it up, because obviously I always feel that we do better when the opposite team want to play football, or we get that early goal and they have to come out a little bit. We, not saying we're a counter-attacking team, but we just, when there's a little bit more, you know, when there's a bit more intent from the opposition, we seem to sort of play better.
Yeah, I think they turned us around because of the sun, because the sun was quite low, wasn't it? And it seemed to be in Hinchcliffe's eyes for the first half, and it didn't seem to be, I think it dulled over a bit in the second half. So I think that's why they turned us around, because I said, because I couldn't see that it was any ex-county players or anything in there. That seems to be the normal, doesn't it, when there's ex-county players. As you say, we completely just, we had 71% possession versus their 29% in the first half. Our XG was 1.05 and theirs was 0.01. They had one shot on target, which I think was a long-range effort, wasn't it? It was easily saved by Hinchcliffe. We had 10 shots in the first half, 4 shots on target. 193 accurate passes, and they had 46 accurate passes. So we just, total passes, 260, and they had 112. It was, 78 passes in our own half, 115 in their half, and they had 23 in their own half and 23 in our half. So as I say, we just completely did everything we could apart from put it in the back of the net. Their keeper made a couple of good saves in the first half. We were just absolutely all over them. And as you say, it was just trying to time waste. I don't think they went in our 18-yard box, did they, in the first half? I don't recall anything.
And no real sort of attacking, no crosses or anything like that. It was, like you say, very similar to the Swindon game, I thought. We were, very dominant. We were trying different things. We've obviously Hippolyte and we sort of had different formations for different areas of the pitch and in and out of the ball, with Hippolyte acting more of as a wing back. At times, but then other times he was more forward as a winger. Connor Lemonet Evans, at times he was like playing inside wing, and then other times he was actually wing, with Bristow more as a full back than a wing back. And the same again, at times, getting Evans, he's on the wrong foot, on the wrong side of the wing, so mine's interpretation on that is that he's obviously meant to be cutting inside and offering a supply there. At times it just didn't seem to work with him. I think it would have been good with him and Hippolyte swapping over. We tried different things. I mean, Paddy had plenty of chances in that first half. It's just having, we're just knocking on the door, and it was just, I don't know if it's obviously I think it is the pressure that we get into the business end of the season. And we just, like I say, for me, if we get that early goal, we would have won that game 3-4-0 without a doubt. But as the game goes on, we sort of seem to struggle and struggle and struggle.
Yeah, definitely. I say, I think as we come to the second half, but I think, yeah, that first half, we did everything but score. I think the crowd were pretty decent as well. They seemed to be quite behind the lads, trying to keep them going. As you say, their keeper had a really good first half. Second half, so basically, yeah, no changes from either side for the beginning of the second half. And we basically, it was just a tale of the same as the first half, wasn't it? We were completely, completely dominant over them. Again, we had 74% possession against their 26. They had two shots, one on target, one off target. We had 15 shots and 10 shots on target in that second half. XG was 1.65 for us. It went up to 0.1 for them. And we had accurate passes, 220 accurate passes against their 40 accurate passes. Total passes, 283 against their 104. It was just exactly the same, wasn't it? We just the bus almost, didn't they?
We did. I think we stepped it up a little bit in the second half. We started a lot more urgency, and like I say, that can be, you can see that in the number of shots in the second half that we've had. It's increased. I think at times as well, previously in the other games in the season, we've been a little bit critical that we're not having enough shots with inside the box. But on Saturday that. Total shots in the box, when I can find it, total shots in the box, 17 shots in the box, for Saturday's game, which is, is quite amazing, 8 shots from outside the box, and there's been previous games where, we kept on doing was shooting from outside the box and we're not actually creating them chances within. Second half, I thought we were, same game, on the front foot. We played, I would say, most of the game in their half. Obviously, as the game got a little bit more open, they've had a little bit more of the ball, I think, and a little bit more chances. But that was expected because, obviously, we would start committing more players forward with players like Horsfield making runs and carrying that ball out from the back a little bit more. It was same again. It was a hard one. Obviously, in previous games, Challen has made substitutions at half time, and I didn't expect him to make substitutions this time. So I didn't really think, apart from not scoring, they didn't actually do much wrong. And I fully expected him, as he did, to give him sort of players 10-15 minutes of the second half to go out there and try and obviously get that goal before he sort of made substitutions, just to give a bit of more energy and a bit more life into the, out on the pitch. But like you say, there weren't, it's, you can't really sort of critique certain players, I think. I think certain players didn't play to their best and the best we've seen them play this season, but I don't think there was anybody that really was, dire and needed to be dragged off.
No, I think obviously Powell was playing very deep, wasn't he? He was the holding midfielder sitting just in front of the back three, but I think he's more effective the further up the pitch that we can get him. So again, I think he was sort of playing out of position. You could see him looking for the passes, but they just weren't on because these were very compact. They kept the shape quite well. They just obviously wanted to spoil the party. So I think he wasn't effective there. I think that was probably why he came off and Camps came on. I don't think he had a particularly bad game, but as you say, maybe just a bit out of position or not his best position. And I think the same for Hippo, because as I say, he's pretty much very left-footed, isn't he? So he was wanting to come in every time. So then, Powell and Hippo got substituted in the 59th minute. Camps and Bailey came on. I think Camps is a bit more suited to that central defender, central midfield, defensive midfielder role. Maybe, you know, he can put a tackle in and just plays a bit more simple balls. And Bailey, I think Bailey looked pretty pretty good when he came on. A couple of decent shots. He seemed to be a bit more lively than he has been for the last few games. So hopefully that will give him a bit of confidence going into Thursday's game against Salford. So do you think they were the right substitutions at the right time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I think, same again, Camps, different, even though Powell was playing that, I think Powell's obviously wasted in that position. To be honest, that's not his strong position. He'll do as a job, and which is what he's done. But obviously, Camps offers a little bit more in that position. I think Camps moves the ball a lot quicker. And like you say, just offers a little bit more, you know, more similar to Crosdale, but Camps' passing ability is a lot better than I think what Crosby's is. Bailey, same again. Energy, you know, and we said it before with substitutions. That's what will make the difference from us winning games and drawing games is actually the quality of our bench and the substitutions. But they have to show something when they come on. They have to show the energy. They have to show desire. And that's what Bailey did. You know, he looked to get on the ball. He weren't hiding. He wanted to receive the ball in certain areas. And same again, he had that shot, which, you know, same again, I thought was, you know, it was a bit like the Swindon goal he got. To a certain extent, I thought that was going to be a, you know, well, goal of the month. It would probably be the only contender, to be honest, for goal of the month. So, yeah, that was, just to say, energy. And like I say, we just increased the tempo a little bit when they came on. You know, and like I say, the goalkeeper's on FOTMOB's got probably one of the highest scores that we've seen for a long while. Very similar to, like I say, the Swindon game where the goalkeeper got man of the match. You know, he's come away with a rating of 8.9. Townsend, their goalkeeper.
And yeah, he's got in the League Two Team of the Week as well, I believe. Him and Cass, both in the League Two Team of the Week. So yeah, he's had the game of his life, hasn't he?
Considering, I think on FOTMOB, he's never really scored above a 7. You know, right, all season, and then he goes and pulls that out. It's just, unfortunately, that's how it goes. I mean, we had it the same again. It's very similar to the Swindon game. I mean, the Swindon played exactly the same tactic, and they say got a 0-0. And like I say, they probably looked at that as our previous home game, looked at the first game of the season against Gillingham, and they've gone, copied the playbook, you know. Exactly there. I didn't think they were ever going to score a goal, to be honest, Newport, but this is County, and how many times have we seen this game before where we've knocked on the door, and they've had one corner and we've switched off and they end up nicking a 1-0 win, which, you know, they don't really deserve. But yeah, I thought Bailey offered something. I felt all the subs offered something, even... you know, obviously Richards, when he came on, I thought he offered, looked quite lively and bright and looked to get on the ball and wanted to receive the ball down that right hand side. Which, like I say, hopefully puts us in good stead for obviously the games to come.
Yeah, and then so on 70 minutes, Lemon Evans goes off and Tanto comes on, and it looked like almost we were playing a front three, but I think Madden was sitting just behind the Monty, just behind the front two. I think he scared their defence because of his pace, Tanto. And I think obviously 3 minutes later he gets the penalty. I've watched it back because I know you commented on this yesterday when we did the first recording. Wasn't sure if it was a penalty or not. I have watched the highlights and I'm unconvinced now. On the day, I thought it was definitely a penalty, the way that he went down, the way that his leg went away from him. But as you say now, looking back at it, I'm just wondering whether or not he actually touched the ball or if it was the defender that touched the ball rather than Alafi. But anyway, we get a penalty. Everyone's cock-a-hoop. ready for us to jump into the air when Paddy Madden picks it up.
I didn't know if I was just looking at my feet and listening for the noise or watch through my fingers. It was, like you say, it was nervy.
It was, but I think Madden looked, it didn't look his normal composed self for me. And I don't know if that's just because I'm looking back at it because he's missed. I think it looked to me as if he changed his run-up, his normal run-up. He seemed to sort of do that stutter that a lot of players seem to do now for the penalty, which I'm not really seeing him. I don't recall seeing him do before. But as you say, the keeper goes the wrong way. It's a goal. It's a penalty. It's a goal, isn't it? Unfortunately, the keeper guessed the right way and it wasn't right into the bottom corner. So it makes it look an easier save. The only, I think, disappointment, the second disappointment is that we had nobody following it up. When you look back on the highlights, there was three or four of their players that were there to get the ball away. You know, if one of them had got it, there didn't seem to be a blue shirt close enough to even try and get the rebound. And then at that point, with the penalty save, I was, as you've just mentioned, I was like, we're going to lose 1-0 here. All these chances, we're not putting them away. They're offering us absolutely nothing. They'll get a silly free kick or a corner and they'll put it in the back of the net and then we'll be losing 1-0 again. It just had that all the way, but still creating chances. I say, keepers having a worldie. I think probably one of the best saves was Powell on the line from Paddy Madden.
Nearly an own goal where the ball's come off that defender's knee and it was going top corner and the goalkeeper, same again, he's pulled off a worldie to stop an own goal. Like you say, Powell stopping Paddy's shot on the line. Obviously, Bailey's obviously effort, which was same again, pulled off another worldie save. And same again, we were knocking on the door. And like I said, when Rico came on, I think we're then playing four or five up front. Defending's gone right out the window and it is literally, you know, all out attack.
Yeah. And then 93rd minute, ball comes in from Camps. It says that Pye played it back to Paddy, but again, I'm not sure looking at the highlights. I can't tell if Pye actually plays it or if it's the defender that semi-clears it.
Well, like I said, I thought that we were a little bit lucky because I think if that was in the first half, the referee blows for a foul from Pye because he had his foot quite high.
Foot high, right, okay,
thought that. But like I say, it being so late in the game, I don't think the referee, I think he might have bottled it and thought, you know, I'm not going to disallow that goal in the 93rd minute. But I'll take it. At the end of the day, you know,
it was a cracking volley. It was a pelting volley by Madden. And say, thankfully, completely made up for missing the penalty. And the relief around Edgeley Park was just, as you say, it just felt as if it just lifted the place, didn't it? It just absolutely erupted. You could feel that like big hoodoo off your back suddenly lifted, taken away. And we managed to get the 1-0 win. I think it was important that we got that win with the results that was around us. Mansfield won, didn't they? Wrexham won. Barrow won. MK Dons won. I think the only ones in the top seven that didn't win was Crewe, without looking at looking the results up. I think that was it needed to be done. But yeah, the relief around Edgeley Park was amazing. It was superb to score. I think it's one of the best feelings, isn't it, scoring a last-minute winner?
Yeah. Like I say, it's just, and I think, unfortunately, we've got a lot more games like this between now and the end of the season. I don't think, you know, I think there'll be some that will go down to the wire. I still think that Ben will pull off a penalty save in a game that will clinch us points that will be massive to the, you know, the final target and get promotion this season. But that's how County do it. They, you know, that's that's what County's about at times. It is a roller coaster. It's ups and downs. We never do anything easy. We, you know, that's why we've never won a football league championship. We've never done it. It for the simple reason we don't do things easy for ourselves.
I think we look better than last year. When we got to this point last year, we had lots of teams that came and parked the bus, and we didn't have a plan B. I think that was the biggest thing last year. As I think this year, we've said it many, many times on the club call and on the podcast. He's got plan B, plan C, plan D, etc., hasn't he? Now he's got plenty of ways that he can change the game. And as you say, our bench is going to get stronger again in the running. I think he said possibly Crowsdale might be back for Stoke. And then it'll be a couple of weeks, we'll get Wright and Collar back. Sometime in April, we might get Barry back. So, as you say, that bench again starts looking really strong.
Yeah, I mean, they said Crowsdale was in the courtyard. Crowsdale was back on the grass last week from his operation. So, hopefully, you know, like you say, he's not back. But that will be our bench that I think that will be the turning point for us getting over the line this season. The quality and the energy that they come off the bench. You know, like I say, when you look at the stats for this season, and you know, you're looking at top assists that we have. You know, our top rated players, a top assist is Macca. Top rated player that we have is Macca for the season. Second highest rated player we have is Will Collar. You know, so and when you're losing players like Will Collar and Macca that are quite influential, it has been a bit of a hard miss. You know, you still got, let's say, Louis Barry, joint second league top league goal scorer on 9 goals with Paddy.
Yeah.
He's been out since obviously the Crewe game in October. It's once we get sort of quality players back, we've got 11 games left. I personally think we only need to win 6, maybe 7 of them 11 games to get over the line. We're still going to play the bottom four of the bottom 5 teams we've got to play. So I still think it's all in our hands. You know, we're now in a bit of a weird situation with the games that, obviously, as we're recording this on a Tuesday, the rest of the league play tonight before we play on Thursday. And then they'll play or play on Saturday when we play on a Monday. And then the following Saturday, they'll all kick off at 3 o'clock, where we'll obviously kick off against MK Dons at 5 o'clock. So we're on a little... Everybody will play before us for the next 3 games.
Yeah.
So we'll know the results of everybody else before we go out on the pitch. And it's down to us, you know, to take the opportunities, because everybody can still beat everybody in this division. It's, you know, everybody's still got things to fight for. There's nobody, like say, cut adrift really at the bottom. Even Sutton United are only 5 points behind from safety. So they're going to be playing for every little thing they can. You know, so it's you know, I still look at, you know, a top... I'm not bothered about going finishing top. I'm just happy to be finishing top 3. But I think, like you say, there's a lot more twists and turns yet that can go on. And like you say, the next 3 games, it's obviously massive, but so much can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to be taking 9 points from the next 3 games, don't we? Well, the next 6 points definitely from the next 2. And then we've got MK Dons at home. I think that'll be the real sort of tester to see where we're at. Man of the match. On FOTMOB, there was only Lemonet Evans, Hippolyte and Powell who scored a below 7. For us, the highest rated player was Sars. The sponsors gave the man of the match to Ethan Pye. Do you agree with Ethan Pye being man of the match? Is there anybody else that stood out for you?
Well, like I say, I don't think... There was nobody had a bad game. There's some players that can play better and have more influence on the game, for sure. But there was nobody that had a bad game. If they give it to Horsfall, you know, same again, I wouldn't have argued with it. If they give it to Sars, I wouldn't have argued with it. If they give it... Obviously, if Paddy scored that penalty, I think he'd have probably got it with the goal. But obviously, they had to announce it before, obviously, Paddy scored the winner.
Yeah.
You know, so... No, I mean, like I say, I wouldn't have argued with it. The only person that probably wasn't in contention with it was Hinchliffe. And for the simple reason, because he's not done anything.
Still managed to get 7.4 for two saves.
But I mean, this is how daft it is. He's made more saves and got a lower scoring rating in some games.
Yeah.
And in this game, he's got a 7.4 and I don't think he's hardly touched the ball, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Cass had the best game he's played in a county shirt so far. But yeah, I think Sars just seems to be everywhere for me. So but as I say, yeah, don't disagree with Pye getting it. I think we can see the difference, the more solid we are at the back with Pye and Horsfall in there. And if it works, we're doing the back three with Cass as well, playing as a right centre back, then, you know, I don't see why we shouldn't use that. I mean, I think we're better playing a back four because we've said it before, it gives us a bit more creativity in front of them. Get a Crosdale or a Camp sitting in front of a back four, and then we can get Powell, Sars, Lemony Evans, you know, Hippo, Bailey, get all them up, all them firing, if whoever's in the team. So, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah, I think that was pretty much. And then final one for me is the ref watch. What did you think of the referee?
See, the problem is that county fans are getting angst. So they're berating everything because the anxiety and nerves and the jeopardy involved. So that, same again, the referee will be the cause of all everyone's venting for frustration, like their goalkeeper, to be honest. You know, he's going to be the pantomime villain. He weren't the best. He was a little bit, like you say, could have cracked down on certain things a little bit sooner with, like say, the bit of time wasting and stuff. But we all know what was going on. He weren't the best, but definitely not the worst, I thought. Like you say, I thought the penalty that he gave us was soft. I know that we've had contacts like that in the box in previous games and the referees just turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's if we'd won that game 1-0 just because of the penalty, then I'd be saying he's the best referee we've ever had. So it's just one of them.
I think there wasn't anything that I thought he got glaringly wrong. I don't think there was anything there that, you know, it was like, oh, that's a terrible decision. But I think the only thing was, like, clamping down on the time wasting. He had a word with their keeper quite early on, and then never had a word with him again, and never had a word with any of their players, you know, as say, the time wasting that they were trying to do. And I think Charlie mentioned it as well, didn't he, saying at the beginning of the season that they were all, we must have the ball in the half for in play for a certain amount of time, so that's why we had all this ridiculous 9-10 minutes of added time. And then at the end of September they turned around and said, no, we're having too much of that, don't, you know, go away from that again. So it's just stupid things. If you say that's the way they should be playing, then the way that people should be getting booked for time wasting early on to stop them doing that, then I think that's what we should be doing. I think that was the biggest frustration for me, was that he didn't clamp down on that. As I say, apart from that, I don't think there was anything that really stood out that he missed or anything he got wrong. He was just an average referee, really.
I think he's booked, was it four of their players in the end, and I think two of them for kicking the ball away. And he's obviously booked Wotton as well in the first half. Typical one that, same again, I feel sorry for Wotton because he gets absolutely pulled up left, right and centre, and same again. And then he goes and leans on a player and he gets booked for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's same again. if Paddy scores that penalty, then we were saying he's the best thing. We'll have him again next week. It's just like I say, the nerves and anxiety. I think a lot of the time when things are not going our way, we're looking to sort of vent and spleen. And I always think the opposition goalkeeper and the referee are always the easy targets.
Yep. Yep. Right, well, I think that's the Newport game. So on to Salford on Thursday night, live on Sky Sports. Looking forward to that. Apart from that, obviously, this will be available, you know, get signed up on Patreon. You can listen to this normally on a Monday when we release it. And that's ad-free. Obviously, we've got the pod. And again, I can't remember who we've got on Wednesday night with fan guest, but we've got somebody on who will be very entertaining.
That will be a gentleman called Jimmy Harmer.
Jimmy Harmer. Okay, look forward to seeing him. Obviously, yeah, get signed up. We've got some other podcast, bonus podcasts come out. Our charity partner for this year is Mentel. So we've got a couple of popped out with a couple of guys from there. I'm going to chat with them, which are pretty good listens. And we've also got Russ has had a chat with the co-op about their meeting with the club and goes through the minutes from that. So that's I've not had a chance to listen to that yet, but I've been told it's supposed to be a good listen as well. Really good explanations and stuff. Apart from that, I will see you on Wednesday, and we will probably do a bonus Courtyard Club call on Friday after the Salford game, and then we'll do another one after the Crawley game on Tuesday. On the Monday night. So, look forward to that. Apart from that, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and see you next time. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.